lesson from in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read the section first. You can look at your notes, first of all, and just look at the outline. In the introduction, you can see that there's 8 times the word all is used, and then 4 times the word you, just in this section. And then the first part of it, the main section of it, the way I look at it in Paul's writing here, it says who Jesus is and his relationship in 3 areas: to the Father, to creation, and then to the church. And then the next section, just in the three verses, 21, 22, and 23, he has the word you listed 4 times. So there's blessings from who Jesus is for us. And so that's the way I looked at the text. So here it is in Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 15. He just finished his prayer. So now he says, he, meaning Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, things we see and things we can't see. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And that's one theme that goes through the whole book, is that Christ is above all, or he has the preeminence. So almost no matter what we read in this chapter, it's under that heading, Christ has the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21 changes it to you. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he's reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. All right, so there's the text. All right, so again, you can just look at your notes, because I rewrote them for you. The 8 times the word all is used, and we'll go through these, and then the word you. So then point number 1, who Jesus Christ is. One verse just mentions his relationship to the Father, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Invisible God. This phrase is in chapter 2, verse 9, Paul said, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, he's the image of God, and in him bodily, the fullness of the Godhead dwells. Right? Everything. To illustrate that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the Gospel of John highlights this, and there's other verses, but I just chose these 2 or 3. In John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1, and you recognize this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Verse 14. The Word became flesh. All the fullness of God, in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18 of John chapter 1. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, He has declared him, meaning the Father. In John chapter 14, beginning of verse 7, Jesus said, if you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him, the invisible God. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It'll be sufficient for us. But Jesus said to him, I've been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? So point number one, Jesus, who are you? In relationship to the Father, he's the image of the invisible God. Second, his relationship to creation. There's about four things listed there. First of all, in verse 15, he's mentioned as the firstborn, and the key word is over. He's the firstborn over all creation. So firstborn, sometimes people stumble on that word. It just means priority, supremacy. He's the maker and the head over all creation. Sometimes it can mean sequence, as in first, second, third, fourth. But not this time. Jesus is not a created being. In this context, it does not refer to a time sequence. Let me give you an illustration. The wife of our president is referred to as the first lady. Were there ever any ladies before her? Mm-hmm. Shake your head this way. Yes, but she's called the first lady. Well, Jesus is the firstborn. Does that mean he was the first, he was created first and all creations after him? No, we're not talking about a time sequence. We're talking about supremacy. Remember, he has the preeminence, all things. He's the firstborn over all creation. The next verse gives a little more explanation. Verse 16. For by him, meaning reference to the previous verse. He's the firstborn over all creation. For, there's the explanation, by him all things were created. In John chapter 1, verse 3, the Gospel of John, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. It's illustrated again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the opening verses. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Okay. But he has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Through another characteristic of Jesus, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. So again, we see the preeminence of Jesus and his being the image of God, and through him all the worlds were made. So Jesus, who are you in relationship to creation? Then you have the next phrase, you know, all things were created through him and for him. Yeah. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Preeminence? Next phrase in verse 17. And he is before all things. So he's the firstborn. By him were all things created. And he's before all things. Ah, so he wasn't the first thing created. He was before all things. In John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. Then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Goes back. Jesus, who are you? In relationship to all things, I was before all things. Firstborn, created, and before all things. And then it's also in verse 17, and in him all things consist. Meaning, I put in your notes, things stand together. Harmony. Consistency. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, remember the phrase, upholding all things by the word of his power. So in him all things consist. He's the creator of the universe. He sustains it. He upholds it and supports it. So, Jesus, who are you? To the Father, I'm the image. To creation, firstborn, I created all things. I'm before all things, and I, through me all things consist. Now, what's his relationship to the church? The next verse, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Every body, not everybody, but every body needs a head. Without the head, the body is dead. And he's the head over all things. He's the head of the body, the church. If Jesus is not our head, our leader, our sustainer, and things like that, then we're dead. Paul said, you know, you can lose other parts of your body, but you can't lose your head and live. Jesus is the head over all things. To his body, the church. He said it again, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. According to the working of his, meaning God's, mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that is which to come. And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus, who are you in relationship to the church? I'm the head, and we're the body. And Ephesians 4, verse 4, there's just one body. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, now he says that he's the head of the church, but he's the savior of the body. Savior of the body. So think about where's salvation located? It's located in the body. Jesus, who are you going to save? I'm going to save my body. And he's the head of the body of the church. You think the church is not important? He's the savior of the body. The church, of which he's the head. He is, the next phrase is in this same verse, verse 18, he's the firstborn from the dead. That's the reference to his resurrection. And where he is gone, we may go. He's the leader. He's the firstborn. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead. He's become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Well, firstborn, first fruits. He leads the way, in other words. Another phrase that's used in that last phrase, and that in all things he may have the preeminence. So Jesus, look at all those qualities, characteristics, descriptive words, and then you have that summary at verse 18, that he may have the preeminence. Give him the glory. The next phrase, verse 19. So it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Jesus, what's your relationship to the church? Well, it pleased the Father that in me all the fullness should dwell. And again, Paul repeats that in the next chapter. Must be some significance or importance. In Colossians 2, verse 9, again, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. You know, Jesus in the Great Commission in Matthew, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then gives an added phrase in verse 20. The quality or characteristic. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, he said. By him. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. So the first thing he says, it pleased the Father. Oh, yes. Meaning Jesus would be the complete or the full sacrifice through the blood of his cross, is the phrase. To reconcile, meaning Jew and Gentile, made peace through the same. So one verse of explanation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, the verse continues, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Oh, reconciliation again. So we look at these opening verses. It's all about Jesus. What's your relationship to the Father? Well, I'm the image of the Father. To creation? Oh, look at all those things. I'm the firstborn. I'm the creator. I'm before all things, and I make all things consist. And who are you to the church? Oh, I'm the head. The firstborn from the dead. Meaning where he's gone, we will follow. And I have the preeminence. And that pleases the Father to reconcile. Then the last section, in verses 21 through 23. Verse 21, that's us now. Us. So verse 21, and you, who were once alienated and enemies, yet now he's reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He's reconciled. To reconcile something means something has been together at the start, and then it's something separates and you reconcile. So you have conciliation, separation, reconciliation, or reconcile. Meaning, make it a practical application, when you were born, you were okay with God. You were precious in his sight. You were not born with sin. You were fine. You're innocent. But then sin comes along and sin separates. We need a way back to the Father. And so Jesus provided that through his death. And so now because of him, we can be reconciled. If you started out separated from God at birth, and then you obeyed, what are you going to be reconciled to? Back to separation. But since you are with God at the start when you are born, sin separates, and now we are reconciled back. Otherwise, reconciliation doesn't have a valid meaning if you're already born separated. Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand's not shortened that it cannot save. His ear is, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hid his face from you. So you're born on God's side, sin separates, and Jesus provides a way back. The next phrase is in verse 22, what about us again? Oh, he reconciled us to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Well, that's our Sunday morning lesson, isn't it? Those opening verses of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Our bodies are designed to make a presentation to God. A presentation. You know, you understand that in ceremonies or things that you're going to make a presentation to someone. That's what we are to do. Because we've been reconciled to God, we have to live in such a way that we present our bodies, make a presentation back to God that is holy and acceptable, a living sacrifice, and it's reasonable, Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Then the third one is in verse 23. Now, there's a condition. It says, if indeed you continue in the faith, continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. So there's the goal. That's the objective. I want to continue in the faith. I want to be grounded. I want to stand on that firm foundation, that solid rock. And I want to be steadfast. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your, and I like this last phrase, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain to stay on God's side. The last phrase, verse 23, and another condition, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard. That's right, you heard it. You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 10, familiar verse. Paul said, but they've not all obeyed the gospel. Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing the word of God. But I say, have they not all heard? Have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Romans 10, verse 18. The sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Let's stay on God's side. Because of those things that are characteristic of Jesus, his preeminence, his relationship to the Father, to creation, and to the church. So we have an obligation that we want to do. We want to be sure that we are reconciled. We want to make the right presentation. We want to continue in the faith and not be moved away from the gospel that we heard. Oh, by the way, just the last thing I'll mention to you, Ruben, just in case there was a question, because the last phrase that the gospel went to the ends of the earth. Paul said, which in verse 23, which was preached to every creature under heaven. All right, Acts 19, verse 9. Paul said, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, continued this for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Gentiles. All right, all of Asia. In verse 20 of Acts chapter 19, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. All right, it's everywhere. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we don't need to say anything. In Philippians 1, verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. So some people say, oh, you mean all the ends of the earth? Whether I understand it or not, the Bible says it went out to the ends of the earth. Don't explain it away. The Bible says it. All right, so we'll continue in Colossians this way next week, Lord willing. 2 weeks from tonight, the fifth Sunday, right? Right, Chris?
Yeah.
Chris is going to be preaching on the fifth Sunday night. So we want to do that on the fifth Sunday. If there's 5 Sundays in a month, I have a guest speaker, and so Chris has consented to do that for this month. So look forward to that 2 weeks from tonight. But next week, we'll continue with Colossians chapter and the chapters and verses. Just by way of explanation, too, sometimes I'm always assuming that people understand in a number of verse. Typically, we hear the phrase book, chapter, verse. So if you see something here that Colossians book, then the next number is the chapter, the next number is verse. Sometimes I think everyone knows that, but that's not always true unless you've been taught. That's what those numbers or words mean. Book, chapter, and verse by numbers. All right. Always at the close of a lesson, we extend an invitation. If you've not obeyed the gospel message, you had that opportunity this evening. I know you know what to do. There's not a problem of knowledge. It's simply if that's your heart's desire, if that's your resolve, that's what you would like to do. If you'd like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, make him priority, give him preeminence, begin by obeying the gospel message. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, verse 38. So that's the invitation we extend. If that's your desire, let's stand together. It was 927. Just simply come to the front or let your request be known at the close of the song if you want to respond in a public way.